Well, Ben Volker, welcome to The Signal.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
So the Northeast Brewery Tour, the Great Northeast Brewery Tour, 62 breweries. What do you think makes the Northeast such a hotbed for brewing right now? What's going on with that? 62 breweries sounds like an awful lot of breweries to me.
It is, and yet at the same time, it's just a fraction of the number of breweries in this part of the country. The U.S. actually now has more breweries than we've ever had since before Prohibition even. We have about 2,500. So 62 was a manageable chunk to bite off. But I think that a lot of the excitement about craft beer and all the directions it can go in has really caught on and sort of exploded in the last handful of years. So certainly there were things going on well before that, but I think, well, in my book chronicles to a degree, a number of newer entrepreneurs and, you know, dreamers, if you will, that fell in love with beer and decided that they wanted to go into business.
Well, Volker, does that sound like a familiar story to you? How did the Brewer's Art come to be, our own local brewery?
Well, the Brewer's Art came to be a sort of a lemonade stand idea in a now-defunct bar called the Rendezvous Lounge on 25th and Howard, where a group of three of us said, wouldn't it be great if... Well, two of us were home brewers and big-time beer aficionados, and the third was a kitchen manager at the time. So we thought, well, we have three parts of the equation. Let's try to get something together. And over a period of nearly 2 years, the whole thing kind of snowballed into what became the Brewer's Art. It was difficult to find a space. We found the space we have now in a very historic building near the, you know, near the Symphony Hall there. And so suddenly we realized we can't just have a little brewery. We have to be a full-fledged restaurant with better than average food. And I think we've done pretty well with both the food and the beer, actually, in those premises. But we definitely came in from the aficionado side, not from the professional side. So.
But making that leap from a leap from home brewing to running a brewery, even a craft brewery, not a huge operation, that seems like quite a leap. Maybe we should back up and define, what would you guys call craft brewing?
That is a very controversial question, even within the beer community right now. There's craft versus crafty. There are all these crazy debates going on. With the growth of craft beer, you know, a brewery like Sierra Nevada makes, I don't know, how many thousands of barrels. I don't know if you have a number on that one, Ben. And I would argue that they're a craft brewery, but they're huge. They're not a microbrewery by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, I guess American beer brewing goes back a long way, and Baltimore was home to several big beer companies for a long part of its history. And then they all went away, those big National Bohemian, Gunther, those breweries. But now, slowly, it's being replaced with these craft brewers. And you got into this very early on. Did people think you were kind of crazy?
Yeah, basically. And I was kind of crazy because I was a rank amateur. I had no business opening a business like this. But, you know, there were some pioneers that were well ahead of me in Baltimore, including Hugh Sisson, who had Sisson's, and then later went on to Clipper City, which is now Heavy Seas. Theo de Groen had the Baltimore Brewing Company, which made great German lagers. And Bill Oliver at the time had the Wharf Rat at Camden Yards, where he was making great English-style ales. The original partners thought, well, why don't we focus more on sort of Belgian-y ales? And I remember at the time, even some industry people were like, are you sure you want to do this in a brew pub setting? People are going to come in. They're going to expect a pale ale, an amber, and a porter. And if you can't offer those things to them, it may not really be their thing. Well, thankfully, those people were wrong, because people have latched onto our beers and really seem to enjoy them.
What are some of the trends in craft brewing? Ben, in your travels, what have you seen? What's going on now? Like, how is the landscape evolving?
Well, I think it's evolving quickly. And as Volker said, we've come a long way in a short amount of time. So, yeah, there was a period when, by and large, if you were somebody who went out looking for a craft beer, I like to say sometimes just flavorful beer, because, again, what does craft really mean? You would find a pale ale. You would find a porter. Maybe you'd find a stout, a brown ale if someone was being, especially diverse with their range. But today, you will find really anything under the sun. American brewers are even bringing back old styles from Europe that have you know, all but gone extinct. I'm thinking of a style that's sort of a an unusual style from Germany called a Gose. That is a beer variety that really didn't, you wouldn't have found anywhere in the United States until, you know, just a couple of years ago. People are brewing sour beers, barrel aging beers, and all kinds of things, whiskey, brandy, wine, gin, barrels has really become popular. And those are just some of the more out there, more extreme examples of where beer has gone. So, yeah, it's metamorphosizing quickly.
Indeed. And people are innovating on a number of levels. There are breweries out there that are doing things that, not even taking into account the defunct beers like the Gose or a Grätzer or something like that, but just creating something completely new and different. I had a sour beer with tomatoes in it from a brewery called Tired Hands. And when I heard about it, I thought, I don't know how well that's going to work. And I had it, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Tired Hands is in my book. They're great.
Yeah, wonderful stuff.
Now, you just mentioned all kinds of things that I've never tasted, and I consider myself, I think I've got pretty good taste in beer, and I'm a little bit adventurous. You know, there's the things that are kind of mind-boggling, though, mentioning tomatoes and all the different ingredients. That seems like such a crazy chance to take to brew a batch of this stuff. How do you decide what to experiment with, or how do these breweries, how are you making these decisions, and how do you get people to try something new?
I think one of the luxuries that smaller scale pub type breweries, and also perhaps nano breweries, have is that they can take a risk on a batch of beer. And if it's a flop, it's a flop. I'm happy to say that I can only think of a few of our beers that were flops, but boy, were they flops. if you're in a larger production type facility, unless you have a little pilot brewery there as well, it's kind of a challenge to, you know, risk pouring 50 barrels of beer down the tubes. You know, that's a lot of money to lose.
Well, what makes it special to go and visit breweries? I would think, Volker, you've probably visited. It seems like one of those things that people, once you get interested in this, you get out there and you want to see these operations. What makes going to a brewery so special?
Well, going to a brewery can be a bit of a busman's holiday, but I do still enjoy doing it. Just seeing how people fit their breweries into their spaces can be really interesting to me, and in part because we had a really challenging time getting our brewery into that historic townhouse. Just seeing how they manage problems. You know, I think there's a lot of, it's a very collegial community, I should add. So if you sit down, whether it's with a brewery owner or a brewer or what have you, you just start talking shop and you realize, you know, how do you deal with this? And how did you deal with this in this situation? And so it's sort of research and development along with, you know, fun and enjoying some new beers.
Mm-hmm. And Ben, I bet you've seen some really interesting spaces in your travels.
Yeah, I mean, when I was trying to narrow down my list and make my selections, one of the factors that I was trying to work with was really picking a number of places that didn't just make great beers, but were interesting in and of themselves to visit. So certainly the Brewer's Art fits that example. Other places that I thought were wonderful, there's a little brewery that just opened in upstate New York that's called Hopshire Farm and Brewery. And they built a brand new sort of bar, tasting room, and brewery to resemble the old hop kilns that were used in the 19th century when that area was the biggest hop-producing region in the country, to dry out the plants for processing. And it's set on, it's actually set amidst a hop farm. So it's sort of a nod to the history of brewing in New York and just a beautiful building. So that's another example of some place that, you know, doesn't necessarily fit everyone's mental image of, you know, industrial factory-like brewing.
You know, it seems to me, you were mentioning these ingredients and these settings and, you know, the whole trend of the 1890s, the resurgence of pickling foods and people getting back to nature and doing some of these kind of homemade items, that brewing and the simplicity, kind of going back to those basic ingredients, seems really appealing. Do you think that's helped make these small craft breweries more popular?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a degree of nostalgia in it, but I think there's also more of an acceptance now than there was, say, when we opened up. there's a certain segment of the demographic age-wise that doesn't see craft beer as something unusual. And I think when we opened, there were still a lot of people who kind of rolled their eyes at this new trend. and that I think is a positive development. And I think that it's kind of an old nostalgia for the old, but also something that is accepted as something new and something that's here to stay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, and just kind of getting people to open their minds to some new tastes. And, you know, it's very different than going the safe route. You know, you go into a brew pub and you have to have a little bit of an open mind.
I would think so. Yeah, it's interesting. I just hosted some colleagues from the D.C. area, from the Blue Jacket Brewery yesterday, and we were exchanging Miller Lite stories because both of our establishments, in spite of being known as sort of as beer establishments, people still come in and say, "Hey, you got a Miller Lite," and then get a little bit annoyed when we don't.
Yeah.
And I think that that's shrinking a little bit, but it's definitely still there.
Now here's a question I want to put to both of you, because this I think is something that's a very strange issue, and I wonder if it is at all controversial, but I've thought about it a lot myself. Beer in cans. Forever, all these craft brews, everything was only available in bottles, it seemed like to me. But now you see more and more high-end, nice beers in cans, which I personally love. But what's the story with cans versus bottles?
Well, the short answer in our case is that that's what Sly Fox did, and that's what they offered to do for us. We started out doing 750 milliliter cork and cage finished bottles, which was great. But when you buy those, you're paying a lot for packaging and the price goes up accordingly. And I have to admit that of the three active partners right now, I was the biggest skeptic about going into cans. But boy, once again, I ate humble pie because I think the beer tastes really good from the cans and it's selling quite well.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of a degree of controversy in the brewing scene about the cans as well. I think they're a lot easier to ship. They offer you a lot of flexibility. You can put a 6-pack of cans in your backpack and take them home without there being too much weight in there.
Yep.
You can take it to a softball field. You can take it to the pool. You can take it to the beach, and you don't have to worry about broken glass. And there's my colleagues at Lagunitas like to point out that bauxite mining is something pretty horrible, and that aluminum production has its own issues, and they're absolutely right. But
everything's complicated.
Everything is complicated indeed.
Ben, are you seeing more beers coming out in cans these days?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think, again, it was sort of like changing people's mind about what beer could be. There has been an effort among a growing number of breweries to change people's minds about, you know, how it should reach them, what container it should occupy. And, I would say, I don't know, probably a good fourth or fifth of the 62 breweries in the book can at least some portion of their products. There's a brewery in Maine that's really taken off that's called Baxter Brewing. And their little tagline is, "We do what we can what we do." And they have been all about cans and only cans since they started, and they're on fire. So, again, I think as people find the convenience of that package to their liking, and they see that the beer tastes the way they want it to, then it's not such a big deal anymore.
Hmm.
I think the material science and the technology behind canning beer has just improved so dramatically from, you know, even when, in my college days in the 80s, if we drink canned beer, it'd be kind of like, oh. And it's, you know, it's substantially better now.
So. Yeah. And they look good, too. They seem like a nice different palette to play with. Like, colors and the cans are all really attractive. So it's just like another design element that you can play with.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, people like shiny things.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
True. Well, both of you are going to be at Atomic Books on Tuesday evening talking about beer. You know, of course, they have their bar in the back now.
The
so I imagine
that
there will be some sampling of brews at the event. What do you have in store for people?
Well, they regularly pour our Aussie and Resurrection cans, but we've actually filled a firkin of Proletary Ale and put a little bourbon-soaked oak chip into it. So,
wow, that sounds great.
So a gravity-fed cask on top of the bar. You know, it'll be fun.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And, Ben, it'll be great. People can see the book in person. They can plan their vacationing and brew touring. Thank you guys for joining
me
today. Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to be screening a very short slideshow of some of the gorgeous images from the book.
Well, thank you both for coming in. I suddenly feel very thirsty. Thanks again.
Thanks, Ben. Take care.
Thank you.
Ben Keene is the author of The Great Northeast Brewery Tour. He joined us today from Brooklyn, New York. He and Volker Stewart of The Brewer's Art will be discussing the book and the latest trends in the booming American brewing scene on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at Atomic Books in Hamden. Details are online at atomicbooks.com. For The Signal, I'm Lisa Morgan.